You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, officially on Peacock. Gave you a tutorial on YouTube.com/TheDanPatrickShow on how to join us to watch the program. You can, of course, listen on our great radio affiliates numbering 362 around the world. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. And our phone number, 877-3DP-SHOW. As we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Coming up, we'll check in with Bruce Feldman. He covers college football for Fox Sports. Can the Big Ten somehow pull this off, having football sometime later on this year? We'll check in with the Lakers and the Clippers, and we'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. Play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. Bucks close out the Magic. Doesn't it seem like it was a month ago that Orlando took game one against Milwaukee? The Clips close out the Mavs. We'll talk about the Mavs as they move forward in the offseason. And the Lakers close out the Blazers, but maybe a little tension from the meeting, the players-only meeting with LeBron James. We'll talk about that story as well. Heat and the Bucks, Rockets and the Thunder coming up later on today. NBA playoffs are back, but I'm not sure it's business as usual. The coronavirus made sure that it never was really business as usual. But after last week's stoppage, staying focused has to be more difficult than ever because, you know, the players are trying to figure all of this out. They're trying to use their platform to promote social justice, and there's no easy answers. And even as they narrow in on actionable items, they're engaging in a short-term and long-term battle. And that's one thing about sports that's easy. The clock hits zero. There's a winner. There's a loser. You get to celebrate. You have a parade. Everybody goes home. Social issues don't work that way. Players are trying to come up with short-term, long-term strategies while playing basketball at the same time and playing at a high level. And you're trying to set the tone for the entire sports world. A champion is likely to be crowned this season, but that's only part of the reason that this will go down as the most unique postseason in history. So you have the games coming up tonight. The Cavs lost to the Clippers. Give credit to Kawhi Leonard. That's what you want a great player to do. Stepped up big time and took over that game. The Mavericks in the offseason are probably going to look for a player who has been a thorn in their side in this postseason, and that's Marcus Morris. You need a little bit of toughness in there, and you're probably going to need a couple of veterans in there. But as you move forward, as long as you can keep Kristaps Porzingis healthy, I don't know if you can get a third star in there. And maybe you get somebody who is on the cusp of being a star, but I will pose this question. If you're a young star, do you want to play with Luka Doncic? Now, before you say, well, of course you do. It's a ball-dominant guard, and you have to be of a certain mindset, and maybe at a certain point in your career, either early in your career or later in your career, because everybody wants their money. Everybody wants to be a star. But if you can find somebody like Eric Gordon is with Houston, where he knows his role, James Harden, ball-dominant guard. Luka was great. Morris, you know, got thrown out of the game, ejected for a flagrant foul. I don't think it's any coincidence that it was a flagrant foul because he did target, in my opinion, Luka's ankle earlier in the series. But as the Dallas Mavericks move forward, if they want to be a championship contender, and now's the time, you got to shore up your defense, got to be a little bit tougher because you basically need a guy who is going to protect Luka. And the Mavs didn't go after Kawhi. I didn't understand this. If you want to play tough playoff basketball, hard fouls, then I would have gone after Kawhi. Wayne Gretzky always had a protector. The great one had Dave Semenko. He was the guy, his job, he was on the roster to protect Wayne Gretzky. If you went after him, you had to go through Dave Semenko. And not many people got through Dave Semenko to get to Wayne Gretzky. Morris is a protector and enforcer. He's a Draymond Green type, not as good. And that's probably what Dallas is going to need. Someone like that who will step in front. You know, Kristaps Porzingis tried to do it. But, you know, the Clippers didn't, you know, even flinch when that happened. They're like, get out of here. But I think the Mavs, as they move forward, Luka's got to improve on his shooting, three-point shooting, his free throw shooting, cutting down on turnovers. But I'm nitpicking because at age 21, he was spectacular, has been spectacular, and I think he has an MVP or two in his future. The question is, are they going to be a great team? And I think this is where you get that playoff experience. And it's so valuable. All the great players will talk about this. You don't know what the playoffs are like until you're in the playoffs. And you've seen teams, the Bulls could never get past the Pistons. The Pistons couldn't get past the Celtics. But then all of a sudden it changed. And then you got past them. And then you never look back. And that is something that happens with these younger teams. I don't know if this is going to happen with Denver or Utah or Dallas. Portland went to the conference finals last year. And I'm not ready to say, hey, let's make a change at the coaching position with Terry Stotts. You know, they were thrown together. And that's still a very talented roster. They got to play defense. In the playoffs, you must play defense. At some point, you have to play defense. I don't care what sport it is. We've talked about this with the NFL. Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl because they played defense. At the biggest moments of the Super Bowl, they played defense. Patriots, look at some of those Super Bowls where they won the Super Bowls. Malcolm Butler, he won a Super Bowl. He played defense. And in the NBA Finals, somebody is going to come up with a big defensive play. Or the defense will be a big difference here, or the difference maker. You can have offense, and that's what the regular season is really built upon. Go out there and have fun. Come playoff time, no matter what it is. We talk about pitching and defense in baseball. We can have home runs. You can have home runs galore. But come postseason time, somebody's going to step up because you're getting a great pitching performance. And that's where I look at some of these younger teams in the NBA. The next step you make, add toughness, a veteran or two, but also understanding the learning process of being in the playoffs. And when you lose, being able to learn from that. And hopefully this, you know, incentivizes, angers Luka Doncic to go out and become even greater. And then can you get somebody to join that team? McLovin, you got a poll question for me? By the way, I do have an update. And I had this over the weekend, but I've been trying to get more information on this. The Jags just released Leonard Fournette. Just letting you know that. So I don't know if he's going to play again, but I saw this from April that the Jags were going to release Leonard Fournette or trade him. There's a chance they had him with Buffalo, the Dolphins, Lions. Those were the three favorites. Then Steelers, Colts, and Chiefs. That's from April at 24/7 Sports. So I don't know if Leonard Fournette, I don't know if he ever loved football. He got paid. But this is a team that basically said, hey, last name that you recognize leaving the building, turn out the lights. Because Yannick Ngakoue got traded to the Minnesota Vikings. And Minnesota is the team to beat, certainly in that division. And I think this was a great pickup for them. Danielle Hunter, they lost Everson Griffin, but Minnesota picked up. That's how much Ngakoue wanted to get out of Jacksonville. Because he took a pay cut to get out of Jacksonville. But they're all in on Trevor Lawrence. I don't think there's any mistaking there. Yes, McLovin.
Now, I know you didn't like the process in Philadelphia, but you got to like what Jacksonville is doing. I mean, how could it, if you're a fan and your team doesn't do this, would you be upset?
No, it's fine. But I did like it a couple of years ago when they were almost in the Super Bowl. I like that a lot better. You know that?
But that's long gone.
I know, but if you're saying what's cooler, hey, we're almost going to the Super Bowl to, do you know anybody besides Gardner Minshew on this team? Yeah, see.
Part of the reason that run with the Jaguars is gone is because you've gotten rid of literally everybody who's gotten you there.
Yeah.
I mean, they've completely dismantled that team just a year out.
Yeah. So Leonard Fournette was released by the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right. Here's something I had on college football over the weekend from my source. This is the same source who told you that the Big Ten and Pac-12 were going to close up shop. What I got from him yesterday was told that the Big Ten Thanksgiving start is a very long shot. More support for late January and an 8-game schedule. A number of players will opt out And 2021 fall season will be adjusted with the amount of padded practices and contact. The Big Ten is trying to save face, but they missed their window in the fall. Going now only complicates everything. And then I ask about Jamar Chase, the LSU wide receiver. He decided that he was going to skip this season and get ready for the combine. And he'll be probably a top 10 pick. And my source said, if you had Joe Burrow still there, Chase would have stayed. The lack of a quarterback at LSU made Chase's decision easier to pass up this season at LSU. But, you know, Leonard Fournette was hurt in college. I don't know if he ever really loved playing. I think he was good at playing, but I don't. You got to love it. When you get to the NFL, you better love it. It's nice to get paid, but at that position, you got to love it. And I don't know if Leonard Fournette ever did. And this comes from people who are around him and a former teammate. They just don't know if he truly loved it. He was good, but what was that, fourth overall pick by Jack? You look at Jacksonville. They take Leonard Fournette. They take Blake Bortles, third overall. They did get lucky with some of these draft picks, and they built something there. They were on the cusp of really making things nervous for the New England Patriots in the AFC. And now, if they're not tanking, like at least say, yeah, we're looking forward to next season here. Because if you say, no, everything's good here. Okay. Yeah, McLevin.
I love a good tank, but I got to admit the London aspect makes me a bit nervous. I just can't see Trevor Lawrence playing so many games in London. And Yahoo at 9 a.m., like, I don't know. Is there something fundamentally, are they going to be able to build this?
Well, I think if Jacksonville gets Trevor Lawrence, you want him on display in whatever continent you can put him on display. Because you got to create a, I'm not going to say global brand, but you have to be relevant. And Trevor Lawrence is going to make you relevant. Although Paulie is adamant. He says Trevor Lawrence is, even if he's drafted, he's not going to play for Jacksonville.
Nope. He's going to pull an Eli, maybe more likely Carolina.
Okay. You think that, okay. Yes, McLovin.
We really never know. I mean, some quarterback could get injured tomorrow. We could have a new bad team. It's not that easy to tank for number one. Look what the Dolphins screwed it up last year.
Well, Jacksonville seems like they're tanking. I'm just saying.
No, yeah, but the Dolphins tanked and they won five games.
Yeah. I think that you had Ryan Fitzpatrick, who can be Joe Montana, and then he can be Joe Blow. Like, you just... I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick got the memo because he's at the end of his career and he goes out there and it's like the first week of the season. Then they beat the Saints. He throws five touchdowns or something.
Hey, Fitzy, easy with all those completions.
Yeah. And they played hard for Brian Flores. I will say that. So that's the information I have with college football. And we'll talk to Bruce Feldman about this. Also, John Thompson passed away, the legendary coach at Georgetown. And he would come on our show once a year, once every other year. But during his 27-year tenure at Georgetown, he won 34 NCAA tournament games, reached three Final Fours, and reached three national title games, won one title in 84. And all the other seasons in the program's history, Georgetown had a total of 13 NCAA tournament wins, reached the Final Four twice, never reached the championship game. He was a larger-than-life presence, literally, figuratively, and he could intimidate, but he did some pretty amazing things and probably is underrated in sports history with the stands that he took. And I just reached out to Patrick Ewing to offer my condolences. And he said he really appreciated that coach meant everything to him. It was like a father figure to him. You had Alonzo, you had Dikembe, you had Patrick Ewing going through there, Reggie Williams, you had Allen Iverson. You had a lot of talent that went through there, but John Thompson passing away earlier this morning. Phone calls are always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. McLevin, what kind of poll question are you thinking about today?
Okay, which team is most likely to be pull a second-round upset? The Rockets against the Lakers? The Jazz or Nuggets, whoever wins that against the Clippers, or your Miami Heat starting today against the Milwaukee Bucks.
um, I'm going to say the Rockets because Westbrook's coming back, and I still think they're fascinating. It could go horribly wrong, and they could get swept. But I just don't look at the Lakers as just being impenetrable. You know, it feels like they can be great, but it also feels like they can be really average there. And the Rockets are the same way. The Rockets, you know, could make 30 threes in a game, or they can, you know, miss 23 out of 25 like they did in a previous game. What else do you have?
This is one that I've been sitting on for months. Bigger surprise, the San Diego Padres or Jamal Murray? You never see those two guys in the same bowl.
Well, I don't know what people thought the expectation level was with the Padres this year. So I would say the Padres, because they're all in. Like, they're making deals. They're fun to watch. And, you know, they're going to be a tough out come playoff time. Jamal Murray is a first-round draft pick. If it's just he plays in Denver, you really have to go out of your way to watch one of his games. I mean, he only averaged 18 a game this year. It's not where you go, he's putting up Devin Booker numbers. I think he averaged 18 a game. But, man, is he making up for lost time? 34 a game in the postseason. Pretty incredible. Also, I think he has scored. Let me see if I have this right. Here's one. You know what? I'll take a break here. It's a pretty amazing stat about Jamal Murray, and it's teaseworthy, I think. But we'll settle on a poll question. I like the one that you had there, McLovin, about which second-round opponent could pull off the surprise. Yes.
I was ready for you to say Heat.
Well, I love watching the Heat. It's just I have my Milwaukee fans that are like, oh, you're always picking on the Bucks. You don't like the Bucks. What's wrong with the Bucks? The Bucks are fine. I mean, I don't know. I just like the underdog, and the Heat are a really interesting team. That's all. Bucks aren't exciting. They're boringly great. Sort of like Kawhi. They're like a mid-range jumper. You know? That's it. It's okay. You can be boring and win championships. There's bad teams that are exciting. And I tend to, you know, I'm looking for the mess sometimes. That's why I root for the Sacramento Kings, for God's sakes. You can't call me a front runner. By the way, this is the last day for nextgreatpodcast.com. The contest here, we have 1,300 entries here. All over the world, people got involved in this. And I'm really excited about this. We started the selection process, paring it down, and it's a long, long process. But we want to hear everybody's idea and at least give you feedback on what we thought. We're going to select up to 10 semifinalists. We're going to somehow try to do that. Give them $1,000, produce a pilot episode, and then the listeners from around the world vote on their favorite podcast, and it's called nextgreatpodcast.com. You got to have your entry in today because this is the final day, and then we'll keep you up to date. And then the winner, I'm going into business with you to help produce your podcast for a year, at least a year. But judging by a lot of the podcasts we've seen, hopefully it'll be a long-term relationship there. Bruce Feldman on the possibility the Big Ten can pull this off and still play football. Also, we'll settle on a poll question and a great Jamal Murray stat for you as well. Just getting started. Glad you're part of the show. 20 after the hour here, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. We are all faced with new challenges these days. If you need legal help, count on LegalZoom. You can start online. They have a network of independent attorneys. They provide advice when you need it the most. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. All right, here's my Jamal Murray stat. He has scored 142 points over his last three games. Only two players in NBA history have scored more points over a three-game span in the playoffs. Jerry West and Michael Jordan. And right now, Jamal Murray trying to make himself a household name because he was overshadowed by former Kentucky Wildcat Devin Booker. And even, you know, in this series, I think there are a lot of people that looked at Jamal Murray as the other guy in this series playing for the Denver Nuggets. But that's been very entertaining. You got basketball coming up today and tonight. Rockets, Thunder, Heat, and the Bucks. I mentioned about 10 minutes ago from my college football source, this is the person who told me that the Big Ten and Pac-12 were going to shut things down before anybody else had that information. He told me that the Big Ten Thanksgiving start is a very long shot. More support for late January, an 8-game schedule. A number of players are going to opt out. The 2021 fall season will be adjusted with the amount of padded practices and contact. The Big Ten is trying to save face, according to my source, but they missed their window in the fall. Going now will only complicate everything. Let's bring in the great college football writer for The Athletic, Bruce Feldman, who joins us. Bruce, thanks for joining us. Who leaked this story on Friday that the Big Ten was looking at maybe somehow trying to salvage this season?
Morning, Dan. I think it's been something, obviously, a lot of powerful Big Ten coaches have tried to mobilize some strong opinion on. And it's a plan that, look, ADs in the conference, as well as a lot of coaches, are really pushing for. And I think so you can start there. I think a lot of what you said a minute ago is probably on point. I think some of the challenges, if you're looking at a potential Thanksgiving start, it would give them, they hope, a 10 games. It would also give them a little more flexibility in terms of not having the feeling that they'd be piggybacking potentially two seasons in 2021, you know, potentially up against a regular quote unquote fall season. And then the other element of this would be if the regular students were to go home for finals after Thanksgiving, it's not a bubble environment, but it probably gives them the feeling that, okay, there's less risk around the regular students because they would be home and then you could start up. And the hope is that testing would be more efficient at that point. But again, I think it's a stretch to expect it, but that's one of the models they're looking at. It's real right now, at least in terms of the discussions.
How did the Big Ten get to this point, though, where you had athletic directors and coaches who had no real say, from what I'm told, that this is basically presidents and a commissioner who decided to make this decision? And I don't know why they didn't try at least that was, or give the impression you're at least trying. They didn't even try to get this season started.
Well, the part I think that's different, you know, you have the Pac-12, which made its own announcement like about an hour after the Big Ten did. The Pac-12, I think, did a much better job of having an alignment. They had a very detailed Zoom call with their medical experts the Monday night before. All their coaches were on it, all their ADs were on it, and Larry Scott was on it. And they have a sense that it wasn't just, okay, we need to ramp up all the testing. In some cases in the Pac-12, there were five hotspots they identified and said they would need to have testing daily, and we can't get to that point. They talked about their concerns with heart issues. And honestly, the Big Ten, because the Big Ten was more back to football than a lot of the Pac-12 schools were at that point, the Big 12 had at least been dealing with what exactly does this mean in real terms than what the Pac-12, which had really been hearing about what the Big Ten and some other people had been dealing with. But I think it really came down to the medical experts that this particular conference, they had their presidents feeling a certain way. And I don't know if it was strictly a liability sense or a moral obligation saying, hey, we just don't feel comfortable putting our student athletes out there when we don't know enough. But I think the difference between them and, let's say, the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC, who are still pushing forward, is their medical experts are telling them something different. And they're honestly viewing things through a different lens. And it's very complicated right now.
What do you think happens this week with the Big Ten?
Probably nothing. I mean, I would imagine, look, this has been a PR disaster for them on top of all this other stuff. When Kevin Warren, the new commissioner, had the chance and was pressed on issues by Dave Revson on BTN, he didn't really offer any specifics. And they offered a little bit more detail like a week and a half later. But at this point, I don't know what information changes things for the Big Ten presidents and CEOs. That's who's got to make the decision. Their boards may be more political. They may try to exert more pressure on them potentially. But I don't think anything's going to change this week just because they saw some high school games where, by the way, they're not actually testing, or they saw an FCS game in Alabama. I don't think that made them say, oh, well, if it's okay for them to get a game off without hitch, we can just push forward. Now, maybe this changes down the road, But I think they're going to be looking at a lot of different scenarios, especially how these cases are in different parts of their footprint.
Any hiccups with the ACC, SEC, Big 12?
Hopefully not. You know, there are places where there are a sizable number of cases, first in the towns, but then all in the college towns. But also, you know, some programs have a sizable number. Texas Tech had said it had over 20 active cases. There are teams that have had issues with certain position rooms. But at this point, I think they are going to keep their fingers crossed and keep pushing forward until they get some definitive, maybe really disturbing evidence internally that makes that forces their hand.
Haven't heard any official word on this. Maybe you can help me. Is there going to be a Final Four? Is there going to be a national championship game?
That's the optimism right now. I think so much is up in the air in terms of how's this going to play out scheduling wise. We've already had three games get shuffled back to later in the fall. I think the thing is, let's see how this gets through. That is the plan, though. Just because the Big Ten and the Pac-12, who are not scheduled to play this fall, I don't think the rest of college football is going to say, hey, we're going to leave a ton of money on the table. If we feel like we can play and it's safe for our student athletes, we're going to try to do it. And the TV partners are going to, you know, in this case, ESPN with the playoff, they're going to love that programming. Yeah. Because it's not like college football fans are going to go away.
Bruce, good to talk to you as always. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dan.
That's Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, and a college football writer for The Athletic. My source just told me Wisconsin was the leak on Friday.
Go Badgers.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot going on behind the scenes in the Big Ten. And I don't know if you leak that to pressure the commissioner, because it certainly felt that way or feels that way, because there was a lot of buzz on Friday going into the weekend that maybe the Big Ten was going to make this work. I was just hoping that they would at least give the presentation of trying a little bit harder. Maybe deep down they didn't want to do it. And look, the decision by the Big Ten is really going to depend on what happens with the other conferences. In 2 months, we're going to know if the Big Ten was right. Because you're either going to have the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 in full bloom, or they're going to be shut down as well. Or you're going to have some schools playing and some not. Pac-12, nobody's brought up the Pac-12. It's like, oh, that's right. The Pac-12 decided not to play. Yeah, we like to say it's a Power 5. It's not a Power 5. It's like a 3.5, 4. But I'll give you 4.5, maybe. Not Power 5. Yeah, see.
And that just sets up everything even better, just for a playoff and 4, nice and easy, clean.
Yeah. Yes. Paulie.
It sure was fun Saturday night to watch your Austin Peay Governors and Central Arkansas Bears.
Oh, I settled in. I was watching high school football on Friday night out of Indiana. And then all of a sudden Saturday night, and I said to my wife, I said, hey, we went to dinner. And I said, I got to be back by 9. What's on? I said, college football. Wait, I didn't think there was college football. I said, hon, Central Arkansas and Austin Peay are playing at 9 o'clock. I went in, sat down. Flipped it on. Next thing you know, first play from scrimmage, touchdown. And I was like, yes. I didn't know if the game was going to last, but I knew that we at least got a touchdown in there. It was back and forth there. It was a lot of fun. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. The all-new GT four-door coupe. Because life is a race, visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our celebrity interviews from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, simply go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance. Got our play of the day coming up. Got another stat of the day. Leonard Fournette released by the Jags. He was the first running back taken in 2017. Let me run down the other running backs. Went after him. Christian McCaffrey. Delvin Cook. Joe Mixon. Alvin Kamara. Kareem Hunt. James Conner. Tariq Cohen. Marlon Mack, Aaron Jones, Chris Carson, undrafted Austin Eckler. That's why the philosophy is don't take a running back too high. Yes, McLovin?
Well, the Jags are smart. I mean, all these teams have to pay these running backs now, and the Jags are not going to have to waste cap space. Like
McCaffrey got paid. Dalvin Cook is going to.
Wow, that's a problem right there.
Kamara is going to get paid.
Mixon wants to get paid, too. He might hold out. Like, all these guys are in bad spots.
Yeah, but out of this group, I mean, who's great? Aaron Jones had an unbelievable year last year, but the other guys, you know, I mean, what are they going to cost you? McCaffrey cost you big money. Alvin Kamara feels like you're going to have to pay big money. Kareem Hunt missed out on his opportunity. James Conner is a good running back. Cohen, Mack, Carson. But Aaron Jones is the one who could be a big ticket item here for Green Bay. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, also Mixon wants big, big money.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. He's a good player.
You never know with that team. They got to spend on somebody.
It feels like you could find another Joe Mixon. I'm just saying. I don't know out of those running backs who is special other than Christian McCaffrey. Yes, Bowling.
And if you look at the strategy, Marlon Mack was a surprise for the Colts. He's been a really good player. But you know what they did? And second round, they took Jonathan Taylor, the running back out of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They'll plug him in. Mack will fade away, never get his contract, and they'll keep the cycle going.
Did we settle on a poll question, McLovin?
Yeah, I put up which is the most likely second round upset, and I do. I got a note on Twitter. The Rockets haven't off the Thunder yet, so I should put
Rockets. That's true.
I should put Rockets Thunder. And by the way, that series, I mean, gosh, who knows?
They haven't offed them yet. Well, you could put either one in there. I mean, Oklahoma City is, you know, they're alive. They're not exciting, but they're alive. So out of fairness to them, then I guess you could put them in there.
But right? The Jazz Nuggets is an option. That seems like it makes sense. They're basically the same team. Same market appeal, same all offense, no defense.
Yeah. Let's be nice here. Don't be ripping some of these.
I think the Clippers are going to have a tough. Are the Clippers that good? I kept watching them against the Mavs. I couldn't decide if the Mavs were that good or the Clippers were just incomplete.
I thought the Mavs could beat the Clippers. When the series started, I said everybody's talking about Portland because it's against the Lakers. And therefore, you get clicks when you're talking about the Lakers. I said, if the Lakers were playing the Mavs, we would be trumpeting the Mavs the way we did the Portland Trailblazers. And Portland came in there. They weren't completely healthy. It felt like Dallas was on a little bit of a roll. They were a very high-scoring team. And it felt like if you're the Clippers, all right, we got the Mavs. We're looking forward to the next round. I don't think the Lakers were looking past Portland. It's just Portland didn't get the unit to play in a cohesive way because of injuries, trying to get everybody back there. You know, they surprised them in game one, but they ran out of gas. As I said to you, they're either going to be still, you know, ready to go, high on those playoff fumes of just getting in, or they're going to be dragging. And it didn't take long before they were dragging. Yeah, Paul.
When you're watching these games, though, there's always a moment where you find a player like, where did he come from? Where Brad Wanamaker, the guard for the Celtics, he's hitting jumpers yesterday. I've never heard of this person. He played at Pitt. He's 31 years old. He's got a hairline like mine.
Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they trotted out Robert Williams. Remember that guy who had that hot tournament for A&M, the big guy?
Yeah. His seven-footer?
I actually told one of the backroom guys, I'm off the NBA if the Celtics are going to win the title, Dan. I can't, as a Sixers fan, I just can't handle them being that good.
Wow. Wait, are you a Bucks fan?
I'm a Bucks fan, too.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm afraid if the Bucks face the Celtics, I mean, gosh, the Celtics look like world beaters yesterday.
It's one game.
I know. But that's how NBA, that's how.
No, that's how you react.
That's how we all react. Remember, we were ready. The Blazers were going to beat the Lakers. The Magic were going to knock the Bucks off after one game.
Well, no, we didn't think that.
That one.
No, we did. We did not. I just want to see Bam Adebayo against Giannis. I do want to see that matchup. I think that could be far more entertaining than you would think. I think Bam plays him really well. Now watch him go out and light him up for 40. Yeah, nice defense by Bam. I'm on the Bam Adebayo bandwagon. It's a Bam wagon. Yeah, Todd. Wake up, Todd.
Bam wagon.
Eat that on a Monday.
That's nice. First hour.
Hey, bagel boy. Eat that one.
A lot of social media about bagels and stuff.
Well, you had a meltdown on Friday, dude.
They were concerned about me.
I was concerned about you.
It's not healthy to get like that. It's not healthy to eat a lot of bagels either, but it's not healthy to get upset about the type of bagel they don't have.
Like, that's as passionate as I've ever heard you, and I've known you for a long, long time.
I just found it very bizarre how one after the other, I'm not going to rehash it, but to not have four different bagels I wanted and to do away with onion bagels.
You're going to rehash it. You just said you're not going to, but I don't want you to. But you are bagel boy, and you know, maybe we get a sponsorship. Maybe somebody can step up with onion bagels and help you out.
That would be lovely if they would do that.
Yes, Paul.
It kind of drove me crazy as well. Todd said, he goes, you know, there's no other places in my town to get a bagel. And it took me about 45 seconds to find a really nice bagel place in Todd's town that's a block away from the one that's defunct.
The thing that did concern me about this place was that they listed all the bagels they have, and I didn't see onion on there either. So there must be some kind of onion shortage or something, I don't know, COVID-related.
I'm going to take a break here. COVID-related.
It does, another bagel place without onion bagels didn't make sense. That's two.
Play of the day is up next. We'll get to your phone calls as well. And we'll check in with the Lakers coming up. Just heard from Jim Boeheim, Syracuse head coach. And we reached out to see if he wanted to join us to reminisce about the passing of the former Great Georgetown coach, John Thompson. He'll join us in the final hour. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
C.J. Evans in the backfield. He's the true freshman. And right away, Holtzball is going to keep it. Pitch it to Evans. Evans, a nice block outside. And Evans has room. C.J. Evans makes a guy miss. And you wanted college football. First play, touchdown, Governors.
Courtesy of the mothership. That was fun. Governors, Austin Peay. They went on to lose to Central Arkansas on a late-game touchdown. And Central Arkansas is going to play North Dakota State in October. That's the only game that North Dakota State is going to play, and that'll be against Central Arkansas at the Fargo Dome. Play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by the great folks at LegalZoom. Need to make it legal? Make it LegalZoom.com. Network of independent attorneys providing advice when you need it the most. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. Once again, Leonard Fournette released by Jacksonville. Now, it doesn't mean he's not going to get picked up, because there are teams that could probably use somebody like Leonard Fournette. And he had a strange season last year. Leonard Fournette ranked sixth in the NFL in scrimmage yards with 1,600. He tied for 136th in the NFL in total touchdowns with three. Yes, McLevin.
That can't be right. Did he really have that many yards last year?
Total yards from scrimmage, six. Remember, he started catching passes. 1,600 yards last year.
Perfect time to get cut by the Jaguars. Playing ball.
Yeah, hey, he's starting to play well. We better get rid of him. We might win a game or two. Yes, McLevin.
The coach apparently said this morning that we tried to trade him for months and there wasn't a single taker. Anyone would call us.
Well, the word is that he doesn't love football. Now, he did play well last year. But that was a knock on him even in college. And even a source told me that this morning when he was released, he said, injured in college, doesn't love football. That's just the word. Whether it's real or not, fair or not, that's what it is. Phil in Indiana joins us to lead us off on this Monday. Hi, Phil. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, always a pleasure. I appreciate it. Best of the weekend for sure was college football. I think it's great to have that back. Hey, Dan, real quick, I heard Tannenbaum on ESPN this morning reported that he thinks the Jags are going to make a hard run at Dabo Swinney and bring Swinney and Lawrence in together. I think that's a risky proposition in that Swinney's got a pretty sweet deal in Clemson. You can never count on that. And then, Dan, also, tanking a lot of times never works out. Yep. So I wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with you, Phil. I would be really surprised if Dabo Swinney left Clemson. If he leaves Clemson, the only place I could see him going would be Alabama. But even then, I've said before, he's got it better than he would at Alabama. Because you're following Nick Saban. He's created his own legacy there. And he has to look at this as, hey, you want to come here. I don't need to go to Alabama. What I'm doing at Clemson, you got it easier in the ACC, and it's almost like you punch your ticket to the ACC title game. You get to play for national championships. You go to Jacksonville? Seems like a demotion. Yes, Seton.
I wonder how many college football coaches are considering or more strongly considering making the jump to the NFL now after the pandemic.
Well, you have to have an opening there, first of all. What jobs are going to be open, and what job are you leaving? Like Lincoln Riley. I thought if he went to the Cowboys, that's a great move for him. The Cowboys aren't going to be open for a while because of Mike McCarthy. So if I'm a marquee coach who's like Ryan Day at Ohio State, how long does he stay? Does Jim Harbaugh give this second thought? But there's only so many openings each year, and that would be the difference maker of trying to get. And you have to look at this is a 1 year that I have to deal with this for 1 year, or is this going to impact me for a couple of years? Yeah, see.
Except, right, I mean, I agree, but now you're looking at all of these other factors that come in. You know, like recruiting's got to be hard enough when you're, say, a Pac-10 school or a Big Ten school. Now try it, after just all of this nonsense that's happened and all the back and forth. I just wonder if the stability of the NFL is a little more appealing and a little less of a risk.
Well, it might be stable from the standpoint of playing football, but it's not stable with job security, though. But yeah. I wonder if you said, hey, Dabo Sweeney's available. Jim Harbaugh is available. Who else do you want to throw in the mix? Lincoln Riley, Ryan Day. I'm sure I'm missing a couple coaches there.
Lane Kiffin.
No. But good try there, McLovin. There's probably five coaches right now where a team would go, on second thought, we're going to get rid of you, their current coach. And then you bring these coaches in. But a lot of these coaches, they make so much money. They got it. It's so you can control a lot more in college than you can in the NFL. Yeah, Paul.
Dabo to me seems like Steve Spurrier 15 years ago. He was cruising at Florida and he takes the Washington job, which is an uphill battle. And then he got the South Carolina job. No problem. Dabo would be the same thing. Let's say he coached 3 years at Jacksonville, got fired, which most coaches do there. He would have just about his pick of college jobs that are open at that time. Michigan isn't always open. Alabama's not always open. Texas isn't always open.
Yeah, McLovin.
Dabo's got the behind Trevor Lawrence is that DJ Ugalele guy, too. He's the top quarterback for the next 4 years.
Isn't that the guy that I came in on a Monday and I said, I just saw this guy, and I don't know how good he is, but he looked like he was a man out there compared to everybody else in high school. All right, we'll take a break. More best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you ours. We'll check in on the Lakers. 1 hour in the books. Two more to go on this Monday, Dan Patrick Show.